Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm joined by Hannah Cranston to talk about the impact of social media on your dating life, how to really tell someone you're not interested, and why the best kind of love is all about you. All this and more. Thanks for listening. If you've been listening to my show for a while, there are two things you hear me talk about all the time. Toys and lube. And you also know I always suggest using them together. But what you may not know is that System Joe now has a lube specifically designed for toy use. Joe's H2O jelly clings to the surface of toys longer, so you don't have to worry about reapplying as often. Somehow they've managed to give it that extra staying power without being overly sticky, because who wants that? And since it's water-based, the cleanup is super easy. It's made with toys in mind, but the jellies are also great for couples play. Joe jellies come in three thicknesses: light, original, and maximum, so you can find the one that works the best for you. It's safe to say Joe jellies are my new go-to lube. Check them out today by clicking on the Joe banner on my site.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, it feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. You can easily subscribe to our podcast. You can find us on social media everywhere at Sex with Emily. I love hearing from you. We also love when you review us on iTunes and give us a comment. We read those as well, especially the good ones. I love those, but I will not judge you. If you've got something to say, we'll take it. We just want you to listen to the show so you can have better sex and relationships, because that's why I exist on the planet. And I'm excited to welcome my guest today, who's going to help me help you have better sex as well and relationships. It's Hannah Cranston. Hannah Cranston is a host, producer, and content creator. And you can find her on Instagram at Hannah Cranston.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Hannah?
I'm great. I'm so happy to be here.
This is so fun. We've swapped content before. You've done the podcast, and I love having you here.
I love being here. You have such a cool environment. You've got great people working here.
I'm really
grateful.
I always
feel very welcome.
You are so welcome.
We have a good relationship.
We do, too. We already decided we were going to take it to the next level.
We did.
Yeah, we're like maybe lunch, dinner.
We talked about it. Communication is the best lubrication I've heard.
Thank you. It is true. I love that. In a relationship, you know, to kind of like, where are we going with this? I can be like, great to see you. But you were like, no, we have a connection. Like, let's, even if it's a friendship or a relationship, something romantic, why spend so much time in our head thinking like I should have, would have, could have asked that person where we want this to go?
Totally.
So smart.
Always put it all on the table.
Put it out there. I love it. Okay, so what's going on with you, Hannah?
Tell me about your life. I've met my soulmate. I have. He does have four legs, but I feel like that's a minor logistical detail.
Totally.
So I do have a dog, which has been, you know, just the love of my life and sort of being a roadblock for my love life, but that's okay because I love him so much. And I'm just, you know, working on some really cool things that I will announce in the future.
Okay, the near future.
But yeah, everything is going well.
Okay, so when we've talked, so you have the dog now and you said kind of putting a damper on your love life.
Yeah.
But I know in the past we've talked, you've dated online, you were dating online.
I'm still
doing a lot of swapping,
dating
on the apps, right?
Yeah, I'm on like, three different apps right now. And it
is hard out there. But if you got it in you, stay on the apps.
It is time consuming. But I keep hearing with the whole dating app thing that it's all in the numbers, which is such like a shitty thing to hear.
Dating's always been about the numbers. The more yeses you say to those invitations that you don't really want to go to that person's house, but you like some of their friends for their barbecue. Like, that's how you meet people.
Yeah, but I really like sweatpants.
I know. I think of all the time I spend getting ready in my life, like could for sure solve world hunger or maybe learn like a third language or something.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a waste of time.
That's how the man holds women down.
Exactly.
What does he do?
He might shower, right? But we've got like outfits and makeup and things. No, you're right. I like sweatpants too. That's true. So you can stay home and swipe more often than going out, perhaps.
I definitely spend way more time on the apps than I've go on the actual dates themselves. Right. But I've been going on a few dates. There was a period of a few weeks where I was going on like 2 dates a week, which is big for me because I don't date on school nights because I have things to do. So that's like 2 weekend nights.
That's a lot. Oh, what do you do on the weekend?
Yeah.
So Friday, Saturday, when do you see your friends? Like, when are we going to have dinner?
Well, I see my friends on
I guess it's better. We can see like Thursdays are better anyway.
Yeah. I like that. Or Sunday night family dinner with my girlfriends is great.
Okay, here's my question for you. So Friday, Saturday, you have a date.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably, I've dabbled in the apps for sure. I think when you're single and you want to find someone, you got to include him. But if I don't see why people don't. Like, just do that and go out. But you're saying that Friday and Saturday, you're like, nope, it's just for dating. And then when you probably match with a lot of people as well, is what I was going to say, doing so many apps, I'm sure you meet a lot of people.
I match.
How do you decide who gets Friday, who gets Saturday? Do you ever do two, like one for drinks, one for dinner? No.
I have done that.
Right. No, you have to. You gotta double up.
Plus, you already have your makeup on. Right. You took your, yoga pants off. So, like, might as well make the best use of it.
Exactly.
But I found that sometimes that can be problematic. One time, because I met a guy for coffee somewhere, and then a few hours later, I had a dinner date at a restaurant, and that guy walked in.
No.
I know.
The guy from the earlier date?
Yes.
What'd you do?
I just turned my whole body around. I don't know if he saw me.
Was he on a date as well, though, probably?
He was on dinner. I literally saw him walk in. And I was like, this is karma for being an asshole.
Right. No, but that's not an asshole thing to go out with someone else 3 hours later.
It's being an efficient asshole.
It's being efficient. We all do this. No, my friend Anna and I had this thing where we would match with the same exact guys on Tinder for like months. We were both single. And she's like, have you gone out with this one yet? I'm like, I have. So like, we'd kind of give each other the heads up on the guys that I'd already dated and she had already dated, which was just kind of funny because we look similar. We're the same age. And then one night before we had cross-checked our notes, she's like, I'm with a guy right now that you're actually going out with in 2 hours. Like, he had said, I have another date with this sex with Emily. She's like, don't bother. Like, it was,
said on the date he had another
date? Yeah, something had come up about how often they were using the apps, or maybe he had looked her up on Facebook. I don't remember what, but somehow he said it. I don't remember now if it was like, she wrote my name up and said my friend Emily, because we're really tight. And she has a podcast, and he was like, oh, sex with Emily, I have a date with her. So then she got to save me from not going out with him. Anyway.
At least give the illusion that you're only going out with one person.
See, but that's why I want to correct you. So why play the game that it's the only one you saved, you're going to go home and like, after that and wash your hair
away.
Like they used to say in the 80s, like I'm sorry, not tonight, I have to wash my hair. The 70s, but was it the 60s? I don't know. When did women stay home and wash their hair? It was always an old thing, but whatever you're gonna do, don't wash your hair. But I'm gonna go home and like, knit or whatever you're gonna do. So you're not an asshole for that. I want to say you are being efficient, strong, independent woman.
That's what I've actually found, is that efficiency is my biggest tip for other people that are dating as well. And being efficient, like knowing what you like, knowing what you don't like, and not trying to play the game of texting and then eventually ghosting, or what is it called? Breadcrumbing?
I don't know, but there's new thing. What's the other one? There's like one called like passive ghosting or something. Isn't there a new thing? Haunting. Okay.
I'm really good at telling guys I'm not interested. Like, after a date, I'm really good at texting them the next day. Like, thanks so much. It was great meeting you. Not interested.
Right.
And moving on with
you
my
are
life.
Very
you
efficient.
Have to be efficient.
Have you always been that way? Are you like that? I feel like I get that sense.
No, I used to be nice. Like, you know how girls are taught to be nice?
Oh, yeah.
You know, we have to be like, oh, like, sure, let's go on a second date, even though I have zero interest.
Exactly.
I
want to be nice. I want him to like me. Or I used to talk myself.
I don't want to hurt his feelings.
I don't want to hurt his feelings. He did buy me a nice dinner. I would think, well, maybe he'll grow on me.
Yeah.
Well, he is good on paper. Oh, my friends met him. They liked him. So now how have you, Hannah Cranston, learned to be more efficient and know what you want? That's like a really good skill.
So two different things. One being, like, if I went on a date a few months ago, maybe, with a guy who told me that his 2018 resolution, his 2018 goal, was to develop empathy. Are you serious?
God. Yeah.
And then he asked for a second date. I'm like, you just told me you have zero empathy.
That is amazing. That's literally the best thing I've ever heard.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. And probably from a very sweet, vulnerable place, maybe, or no? Did he not even attach to what
empathy
was?
I don't even think he understood what he was saying.
Right.
But he was, tall, attractive, and Jewish. And so my mom is like, well, do you think that maybe, you know, so I'm like, no.
Right. Like, because it already, it's a challenge for a lot of people. And when just realizing empathy could take them years.
Yeah. So you just got to, like, if there's something like that, that's an instant deal breaker.
I freaking love that.
And then my new thing is on dates, and this is a bold move, but it shouldn't be bold, is I ask men if they consider themselves a feminist.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just ask them if they identify as a feminist. And it's interesting to see how men either squirm or not, or how they respond, or how they justify that they don't identify as a feminist. Because it's kind of an interesting question to sit across from somebody at a table and be like, hi, do you think I'm an equal human to you?
Okay, but I could see many a man being taken aback, like especially right now with Me Too and everything, being like, feminist is so, it's so charged. What kind of answers are you getting?
Things like, you know, I'm really close with my mom, but, or I don't like to label myself, but, like that whole sort of thing.
I wonder if we could reframe it though, rather than like a yes or no or an answering it, but is there another way to get to the same answer? Because what if he just says, first of all, he might just say yes, because he's like, I'm not going to tell some hot chick who's like, he's probably my soulmate.
How many people say no?
Just to be assholes, or they're really not?
I think they really are not.
So why would that guy say, no, I'm not? He would say, I'm not a feminist because I believe I'm superior? Or?
I think the problem is I don't think people necessarily understand.
They don't understand. That's what I'm telling you also.
Right? Because of
course. That was my first concern.
Yeah, like the movement in itself has different sects that you may or may not agree with, right? There are sects within feminism that I do not agree with. There are sects that are not inclusive and things of that nature. There are some that are maybe a little too out there for me, but that's okay. I still agree with the core concept that we should be politically, economically, socially, and personally equal to men.
Okay.
So, and that's what the word means.
That's what it means. That's true. So I'm wondering though, I'm just helping you brainstorm for dates.
Maybe this is why I'm single. Maybe that's the problem.
Well, I gotta be honest. I think it's that some men, they might see that as kind of like an attack, or like there's no way to answer this correctly. It's kind of like saying, do you love and respect women? Like, are you a good guy? Are you not an asshole? Like, do you love women? Like, are you going to burn your bra for me? I don't know what guys think of it, but I feel like there's a way of saying, like, I think it would help by asking about their relationship with their moms and their sisters and other women in their life. If they say like, oh, my boss, be like, he or she. That's how you find out. It's how they treat and think about women. I know that we shouldn't talk about exes on a date. I always say, don't talk about your ex on the first date or first few. I don't have very many rules in that way, but it's more like when people bring up their exes, typically it's like, oh, my ex was crazy. Everyone's ex was crazy, apparently. We all think the same person. And everyone's ex is crazy. And then there's a story there. However, I think it can also be telling, because when someone's still in the mode of like, oh, she was crazy or she did all these things, they still haven't taken responsibility for their relationship yet. So it's like, because there's two to tango, there's two people in every relationship. Totally. So yes, they could have cheated and lied and stole all your money. And you could still say they did all these things, but you were with them. You chose it. What was it? What was going on in your life maybe that, and granted, we're also met victims sometimes for sure. I'm just talking about the whole ex theory.
I'm going
off on a whole thing here. But like, I just think you can tell a lot about people's relationship with women by asking them. And eventually when you get to the ex thing, finding out like what really happened, have they healed?
Yeah, and you can tell, like you're talking about now, like if, how the way a man talks about his mom or their exes. That's a really good point. Mm-hmm. If they, you know, express, you know, respect for them and it just didn't work out, as soon as they say, I still have a lot of respect for her, but blah, 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 then you're
then like, that's a good thing, right? Yeah, we're still really good friends. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Okay, yeah, you're doing good. Okay, so what else have you found out in rapid fire dating in this stage of Hannah?
Guys don't like to be told that you're not interested or that you don't want to continue. I actually brought texts.
Oh, I love that.
I brought
real life texts because what you're saying is now you're also being more decisive and you're telling them you're not playing like,
no, see,
you're
I don't
not ghosting.
I don't want to play the game.
Love this.
I don't want to play the whole, like, let me, you know, string you along for however long, or pretend that I'm interested. If I'm not, it's not doesn't work for me and it's not good for you either.
Right. Okay.
Like,
right.
Isn't it way better to just break and then
honest.
Move on with your day?
Yeah.
Right. So I told a guy that I wasn't interested in continuing our relationship, but it was great getting to know him, and I wished him all the best. So then he goes into this like four paragraph thing about how I'm the problem with the LA dating scene.
No.
Yeah.
Read it. Let me see your song.
He says something to the effect of like, well, he wanted me to meet his friends like on the third date, which was a little, I mean, whatever. I've introduced people like very early on. Yeah, this is only after two dates. So okay. He gets very upset that I didn't get to meet his friends, that I'm the problem with the LA dating scene. But then this is where it gets weird. He says, now you've left my dog without a mom. This was after two dates.
This is your next show or whatever you're doing. Was it a joke though?
I don't know.
I think that's a funny thing to say. Come on.
Maybe.
Think about it. You've left my dog after three dates?
This was two dates.
Two dates. He says, now you've left my... Let me hear it. I think it was a joke.
I can't say.
Did you meet the dog?
Name.
Did you have a dog date?
No, we never met. I never met.
You never
the dog.
Met the dog. Interesting.
No, dog date. That's a big deal.
That is
you
a big, especially
introduce
now,
somebody to your dog.
It's like your child. I'd
introduce somebody to my parents before my dog.
Right. Because what if your dog just starts pissing on them? Then you can't date this person.
But they don't like them.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's what
come
I'm saying.
On.
Wait. So that's okay. But what do you say in these texts when? That's a hard thing after two dates. So you get in front of it.
Yeah.
You don't even wait for them to say, Hannah. Oh my God, last night was amazing. Let's do something Saturday. You're like, nope.
I try to be like, you know, it was so great getting to know you, but I'm not interested in committing, you know, continuing.
What do you say? I'm not interested. I used to say like, I'm not feeling a connection. I'm not feeling.
I said it was like, great getting to know you a bit, but I don't think I'm interested in continuing our relationship. I wish you the best though. Exclamation point.
Okay, good.
So if you add an exclamation point, everything is nicer.
Right. No, I think this is great and concise. Now, this guy didn't want to take it, or he just made you feel bad.
Yeah, you guys get frustrated sometimes. And I get that. Dating is frustrating,
and
it's hard, and rejection sucks. But I think the way that we can have better dating experiences is if we shift our mindset, right? It's not about rejection. Like it's not
rejection. It's just not, was you weren't a match.
About, yeah, we weren't a match. It's not about chemistry. Like if somebody's not into you, that's a great knowledge to have. Knowledge is power. Then use that, you know, power to go find somebody who's obsessed with you, because there's somebody out there
who
thinks you are the hottest. But if this isn't that person, why try to like force them to be?
Right. Why spend so much time and think about the, because he might have been like, oh, Hannah, what did I do wrong? Or women would think like, oh, why did he do this? You get that kind of message, it's a freedom. Yeah, this rejection thing, we got to stop. Well, that's one thing I want to say is we do spend a lot of time, I think, I have so many friends who contact me, actually more guys lately, who have gotten texts like you just sent. But the women, I think you are such a good role model here, because my guy friends are getting texts that are similar, but they're couched in all this other language that they've actually sent me texts to decipher. They're like, do you think she's trying to end it or not? Because she'll say something to the effect of like, same thing, like they'll have gone out a few times and my guy friends are like, and it was amazing and she made out with me, we made plans, but now she wrote me this. And it's like, my life's really busy right now, work is just taking over and I'm traveling and I think you're great, but right now is not a great time for me because I'm busy or something like that. And then they're like, do you think I should still pursue it?
It's
should I
cruel.
Convince her? Because then they don't get it.
Don't
but
get
you're
it.
Like, no connection,
you
bye-bye.
You spell it out. You have to
I love
spell it.
It
out.
Yeah.
And I also think another component of it is like, oftentimes the way we have, you know, I guess, stereotypical gender norms, men feel like they're facing rejection a lot more than women, because they're like supposed to ask the woman out and do all this kind of stuff. So I've actually challenged myself, and I challenge other women to do this, is ask a guy out. Or, you know, confront somebody. I thought there was a guy that was really hot at my gym, so I went up to him and handed him my number.
You did?
And I was like, whoa! I
Good
was like
for
the
you.
Most liberating feeling. I walked out, I was like, I don't even care if he texts me. Like, I felt on top of the world because I took a huge risk.
Yeah.
And I think if more women take those risks, then we can like level the playing field and we can have real relationships that aren't so rooted in fear.
You're so right. We're so suffocated and held back by fear. Like everything. Procrastination is fear. Anxiety is fear. Like stress is fear.
Totally.
Everything's fear. I love that you just went up to him. Because I don't see, like, everything else should be equal. How do you feel though? Since you should ask people out, Hannah Cranston, I want to know how you feel about a new study that said more than 60% of women prefer to pay on the first date.
Love it.
You're going to pay on the first date?
Love it. I always pull out my credit card. Not all men let me pay on the first date. There's a lot of guys who still like want to do that, which, you know, that's a lovely gesture. And I'll say I'll pay for the next date or whatever it may be. But every single time I offer, no matter what.
But do you do a reach and hope they don't take it secretly? Take your money? Because I've come on, you pull a full on or do you do this? The reach.
No, I do the full on. I pull it out. I pull it out all the way.
Did you whip it out?
I whip it out.
You whip out the mask.
I try to whip it out before them too, so that they know.
And do they
know I mean business?
No, I think this is. See, I think this is interesting because I have to say I was still in the feel of like I kind of like when a guy would pay because I don't know. There's just something like I feel like they. I was kind of coming from the old mindset that it'll be like emasculating or men like to be in charge or men, I don't know, just kind of an older norm around this. And I think it has changed. And then there's also part that it's like, also I've gone through the whole phase of like, I'll make an effort, but I don't want them to take my credit card, even though I offered. And then there's the ones, so I've kind of gone in different phases of it, but now I'm like, you know, if we really are all equal in so many ways, and plus most dates are paid for ahead of time, you're doing an event, an adventure, how many times are you really at dinner? Like, dates are so many more things right now that I feel like maybe a good way to think about it, and not for everybody, because it also depends if you're dating someone who's more, I don't know what, who asked for the date, who planned something extravagant. You're not going to split it. It wasn't, you weren't in charge.
Right. I think there are like some exceptions, right?
Yeah, let's talk about it, because I do think, yeah, I agree.
I think like in some cases, like if you can tell that a guy is feeling insecure or, you know, the word you used, emasculated, because you want to, you know, foot the bill or split the bill or however it is, I think that's something to take notice of, but then of course retreat, right? Because you don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable on a date. But I do think that there are some politics to it, right? Because if, like, so for example, I retract my former statement because I was invited on a first date. It was a blind date, and he invited me to Nobu. And girl, I am a boss bitch, but I ain't Nobu boss bitch.
No, right.
You know what
I
mean?
Right. Nobu is one of the most like beautiful. Was it Malibu or Nobu?
It was West Hollywood.
Yeah, but it's an amazing Japanese restaurant. Yeah, like, one of the best in Los Angeles. It's expensive,
but it's like. At least $200-$300 a person. Right. At least.
Even if you're not drinking it.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. And so on that date, I was like, I don't know what to do. So I still pulled out my credit card because I was like, no, like feminism.
Right.
Right. But then I was like, oh my God, please don't take this. Like,
right. I'm over my limit. Please don't accept it.
I have to pay rent this month.
Shouldn't have bought the Zara dress. Okay. So
if there's like a situation like that where somebody, there's a huge disparity in salary and somebody suggests a restaurant that's out of your budget, I think
you're
can
right.
sort of feel out the situation.
Case by case. If a guy or a woman, whatever kind of relationship you're in, I guess it feels like if you're, you know, whoever you're dating, same sex, gay, straight, wherever stage you're at, I think if you do the asking and the planning, maybe that's who should pay.
Yeah.
And that's a good way to kind of like, you planned it, you pay for it, and then maybe next time, because I think this is where my heart goes out to men, where I think like men are used to a lot of rejection, and men, because I also think like they're always the ones who have to make the decisions, make the first move, make the plan. So like, why not kind of like help with it in a way by not making these assumptions that they have the money. Obviously, they shouldn't take you somewhere they can't afford.
But it gets expensive for men. I always say it's expensive for women because we have to buy the makeup and pay for the wax or, you know, whatever else we do prior to a date.
When you say that, now I never want to pay for a meal again because no man can ever match up to all we spend.
All we spend in preparation. Right. But it does get expensive for men. And, you know, I want to acknowledge that because I never want to take advantage of that. And I think a way that I've been doing it on my dates that I've found to be successful is if he pays for dinner, then I'll be like, okay, I'll get, like, if we're going to go to drinks afterwards, I'll get the drinks afterwards. I'll get, like, I had a date this weekend. I got ice cream afterwards.
Right. Yeah.
I was like, you get that double scoop.
Right. Go ahead, honey.
Sugar mama
get
over
sprinkles.
Here.
Get sprinkles, right? Make it a double. No, you're right. I thought, exactly. I like that because I like, you know, this basically says that, yeah, there's the women are realizing the financial pressure dating can have on men and they don't want to take advantage of it. And confidence. So the reason why I found interesting, too, is that this study says that confidence is one of the most attractive qualities in a prospective partner. I think that that's true. I think men and women always say, if you're confident, you can like literally rule the world. And perhaps be my partner. So a woman seeing that as a power move rather than the past, we might have seen it as a more emasculating move. So it could be its most go both ways. Kind of like
totally. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's get into power moves because I think this is really important. So I think that's a huge power move if you suggest to pay. I also, my new power move is never wearing heels on the first date. I wear Converse almost every single first date. Yeah. That is like my power move.
Because you're like, I'm not dressing up for you.
Yeah. Just like, I'm not like that I'm coming. I'm not coming like straight from the gym.
You're not wearing the pajamas. You're not wearing the yoga pants.
No, unfortunately.
So you're taking off the yoga pants.
But it's like, I come casual. Like I'm you know, I'm excited to meet you, but even I'm not Nobu? Trying to be uncomfortable.
Did you wear Converse to Nobu?
I wore booties. I didn't wear like heels. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it. Booties are the kind of not trying too hard Converse.
Yeah. You got to have that.
No, you're right. I get it. I think
like,
that's
I'm
right.
I'm confident enough to come in Converse no matter what.
I like you in your tennis shoes. I'm like, oh, you're cute. I love your like short. You're like short. Like me. You're
I'm
like petite.
Very short. I'm petite.
Okay. Petite. Sorry. Let's short.
No, it's okay. No, like, but it's I like a bowl.
Sexy. I love it. No, you're right. So you show, and that makes you feel like I don't have to.
Yeah.
Right.
I feel like I can walk, which is nice.
Right. Because what if he wants to go on a spontaneous hike? On
because I'm not. Yeah, because the guys are like, oh, let's walk to this bar, you know, down the street and 4 miles away. And it's like,
And you, right, and you don't want to be the girl in 4-inch heels who's or 5 inches, what I used to do. I stopped wearing high heels too. That's a great power move. I love it. Here's the other thing, because I feel like you're so in this right now.
I'm very love how in
you're
it.
No, you trenches. Are. You're in the trenches, and you. I love that you're efficient. You're thinking about it. You're adapting. You're swiveling. You're, you know, you're. You're bobbing
ticking,
and weaving.
Emily.
You're like, no, you're in your 20s. You're so cute. No, I just, you're just like, now is the time. You have your freedom. Your whole like life is changing right now in a really good way professionally. You're the boss bitch, and it's like you want to find someone.
Yeah,
but no desperate. No talk. Clicking.
I got my dog for most of my needs, and then a toy you gave me for the other needs, so it's great.
Do you remember the toy? We're gonna
give
you more.
It's purple.
Oh, the touch, the We Vibe touch.
Yes.
Do you like it?
I'm a fan.
Okay,
thank
good.
You so much.
You're so welcome. It's one of
what
my
a
favorite.
Lovely gift.
I give that to my
She's
friends.
She's a great gift giver.
I'm a great gift giver. I'll always bring you a toy. Talk to me about, since it is online, the messages. Like how much, what can someone say in a message, the first message that will either be like, yes, I'm in, or like, no, you sent that to 80 other girls, or no, that's a, you know, could it be like a spelling error? What is a for sure no for you?
For sure no, and this is going to be controversial.
I love it.
Is anything that is about my, like, aesthetics, like too much about my aesthetics. I think too, getting into like,
yes,
OMG,
you're so hot.
You're gorgeous. How do you you're not so have, hot. How you yeah, like that kind of stuff. Oh, I hate that. Why are you single? Like, that's such a...
Gross. I'm like by choice.
So first of all, you're single too.
Exactly.
So like, why are you asking that?
I think they think it's a compliment.
Yeah, it's not a compliment.
Yeah, let's
you know
tell
what else
men
is
what,
not a
yeah,
compliment? Let me just tell you. I hate when men say, you're not like other girls. What?
Right.
Other girls are fucking awesome.
Right.
I would love to be like
exactly.
other girls. Women rock.
It's such
don't
an,
tell oh, me I'm like, don't is, put other women down to put me up. I don't need that. I'm
right.
way more confident than
exactly.
that. Thank you very much.
No, I love this, Hannah. You're so right. It's such an old mindset.
Yeah.
Because men come in here and I was like, well, you know women. Their women are harder on other women than other women. I'm like, well, who are the women you're hanging out with? Because I'm all about my girls. I will. You'll never hear me say anything negative like about... I'm like, let's bring women up. Like even my boyfriend now, he's like, you're always going on girl dates. Like every, like if I'm not with him, I'm like out with a group of friends or just one girl, like having a dinner. Like
yeah.
that's where I get my, that's a
totally.
Really good point. That is not a compliment. It's funny what you're saying because there was a study that came out recently on dating apps and what people want to hear. And it was funny because men want to hear a compliment. This might help you in your future dating.
Oh, okay, great.
And the message is they want to be complimented on their appearance and their looks. They want you to be like, nice photo, nice shirt, love those glasses, you look sexy. Men want that.
Nice shirtless selfie in the bathroom.
Exactly.
Like that kind of thing.
Even
okay,
though we
it.
Probably did not swipe on those people.
We did not.
Right. I don't want to see your body before I choose to see your body. That's why they give it to women. They think women want to hear it, but we don't. And the study showed that that's the last thing women want to hear is, do not tell me I'm hot. I obviously we match if you find me attractive in some way. You don't need to tell me that. And the other thing, I think what women wanted to hear was they were fun. Meanwhile, there's often a profile that they were interesting and fun and seemed like they were like had a good life, but they also like that they were cool and fun, right? Wasn't that what it was, James? Yeah, that women were fun and cool, and guys really wanted to hear about their looks, and women wanted to be like, you seem like an interesting, fun, cool girl.
Yeah, but isn't that interesting? Because I think those are some things that we often don't get enough of. Like, I don't think we give men compliments enough.
I think so. Across the board, we don't.
Right, we don't. And so they yearn for that. Just like we yearn for being, you know, told we're like cool or doing something exciting or being smart or whatever. Right. Although I did have a date. I'm going off on a tangent. Sorry.
No, so, I've been dude, on this so many. Is, I love this. Days.
I went on a date where over 3 or 4 times the guy said to me, wow, you are smart. And I after the 4th time, I was like, yeah, I am. Thank you very much. Like, I didn't know how to respond. I was like, you need to stop saying it to me because you're, you know, saying like it, like you're surprised.
Right. And your IQ goes down every time you say that too, dude. Right.
A little patronizing.
A little bit. Well, you're so, that's so interesting. Well, that's how he feels about women. There you go. Did you go out with him again?
I did. Right. I know.
Because he thought you were smart.
Well, yeah. Maybe that's what
I get it.
Is.
No, but I like to hear. But and guys, I don't want you guys to take this for, I want my boyfriend to tell me that I'm hot and sexy and cool and smart every day. Yeah. So don't get me wrong. I don't not want compliments. It's just in the first message.
The first that's message what we're talking about, or the first date where you're like, if you're too surprised or too complimentary right. in the first date about somebody's appearance or their intelligence or something like that, it can be taken as offensive because exactly. you're like, oh, I didn't expect that from
right.
you.
That's
like,
you've got to be writing all these down because they're really good stories.
Or just maybe saying it on something that's recorded.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, exactly. You'll have this. You can play that. We'll send you the transcripts.
Perfect.
But what I think is great, though, is that also to correct this is it's not that you shouldn't tell a woman she looks great on the first date. You could be like, I love your hair. Or I think it's good to get specific sometimes. Or like, your smile is amazing. I could look at it for, or it's fun talking to you. Or whatever. It's fine to say it once. Or you look amazing. Or nice dress. Nice put together well. Or, God, I really enjoy our conversation.
Yeah.
Once.
Great.
But not like obsessively 4 times. Wow, you were
smart. Or if you meet somebody and you're like, wow, you look so, you know, pretty tonight.
Say that.
Great.
Pretty tonight.
Don't be like, damn, girl, you banging. Would like to, you know, like if you start going into that territory.
Right.
No bueno. Too soon.
Exactly.
Tell me that like later on. I'm here for it.
Right. Exactly.
But on the first date, when you're telling me what you want to do to my body.
Do you get prematurely sexted and dick picked up?
Oh, yeah.
You do?
Yeah. But I also have, I mean, it's a little different. Right? Because people, I have such a public persona.
You do. Hannah Cranston. Everyone check her out on and YouTube and Instagram. She's okay. A hottie smarty. You're really smart.
Are you surprised?
No. I knew you were smart and efficient and hot from the first time I met you.
But I think because when you, I mean, we all do it, right? Because we all have social media.
Yes.
And so you're putting out a persona that's not necessarily who you are every single night or every single day or whatever it may be. And so people come up with expectations because we do stalk each other on social media.
Yeah, okay. That's another thing I want to talk to you about, Hannah Cranston. Can you just come here and hang out with me? This is so fun. How long should you wait before following a date on social media? So I found this very interesting, and it says that, you know, why not? Why don't we friend someone right away and follow them, even though we probably do stalk them?
Of course.
I've stalked. And I love, this is like deep stalking. Like, you'll stalk their ex to see what they're,
you've done. Oh, you got to be careful with that.
Why?
Yeah, because you don't want you to like get into somebody, like we all have skeletons in the closet. Like, you want to get to know somebody for who they are now. You don't want to judge them on their past.
That's true.
Like, unless they're like a picture of them, you know, like murdering her. Like, don't.
You don't
like
want
that should be a red flag.
I've stalked people's exes when I've been in a relationship with them. Like, once I'm with them, that's stalked. Stalk is the wrong thing. I've checked out who they dated.
Yeah, but the problem is then, like, at least
you
do.
You don't?
And, no, I have in the past, but I try not to now. Right. Because then you're like, wait, is she prettier than me? Is she skinnier than me?
Exactly.
Is she smarter than me? Is she better at whatever than me? Maybe she's a better, I don't know, like volleyball player. And right. Now we're going to go to the beach and play volleyball. And I don't know how to, whatever.
Right, we don't need to fill our brains with this stuff because we fill it with enough other negative, with another stuff.
Exactly.
No, that's a good point. Okay, that's
but I do think that you should look at somebody's social
media. This was my question. Before you go out with them, do you look at all their social media?
Because so before, if I'm in a dating app game, so internet is a weird place. Yeah, let me just tell you. So I always ask a guy for his handles before we go on the date. I'm like, I need serial killer insurance. I text them.
Is that what you say?
I say, I need serial killer insurance. What's your handles or what's your last name so I can look you up?
Okay. If they don't attach it already to their profile.
Yeah.
Which
exactly.
Some people do.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
This is smart. So you see, Hannah Cranston's guide to dating.
Yeah, but you have to be, look, I don't want to I don't like to fear monger, mm-hmm. but you have to be careful. So like my mom, I text her the name, full name of the guy, where we're going. And I have a, what's it called?
Emergency. Oh, you have a
No, what's it called when spray? You put the navigation on where people can find you, GPS?
Yeah.
Yeah, I dropped my, so she has my location. I share my location with her.
Oh my God, you're so lucky your mom lives nearby. I'm in Michigan. She'd be like, well, peace out. I'm like, sorry, date's not going well. Okay, so wait, so you, before it, okay, so going back, you match with them.
Yeah.
Do you take it right off the app and you're like, text me if you like them. And then you text one or two times maybe?
No, I don't text before the first date.
So how do you, okay.
And we just talk on the dating app and then after the first date.
And then you say,
date,
send me your social media. If you liked their first message or second message. And
well, I want to talk, I want to get to know somebody. I'm scared. Maybe I'm.
No, I get it.
I don't know what it is, but I like to get to know somebody a bit on the app. Before we go on a first date, okay. I want to know a little bit about you. I want to feel comfortable. I want to feel safe before I meet up with somebody. And I want to feel like we have chemistry. Like if we have enough back and forth to get us through like 3 days of, you know, going back and forth on an app, then I'm like, okay, then we can meet up. I've learned enough about you that makes me feel like,
okay
going on this date. And then if the first date goes well, then we exchange numbers.
I need to really understand. You're doing great because I really want to know. So because I always say you shouldn't, don't text even if it's on the app or in thing, get it over with quickly, like in a day or two. If there's an interest, kind of decide if you're going to go out with them, because the people who just go back and forth texting for a month on the apps, like
if it's a month, like I mean that's okay. excessive.
So what does it take? So they send a first message, you like it, or you send one and you're texting. Do you wait until you've already decided to go out with them? They're like, oh, by the way, BTW, what's your social media? Or it's like you're one of your first messages. You checked out the social media first before you even engage in witty banter.
Unless it's there, I'll look at it. If it's there, I'll look at it because, you know, knowledge is power. But otherwise, like I had a date last week where I was on my way to the date. I was like, oh, by the way,
okay,
can you send me? Yeah, just to make sure.
No, it's good. That's
still on the lift. You know, the ship it's hasn't in the sailed lift. Yet.
Right, okay, got it. But you know, and you just kind of check out Facebook, Instagram, and then you go out
with them.
Yeah, just
make sure they exist.
Okay.
That's, you know,
no.
They're not catfishing you.
I think that's really...
Nobody wants to end up on MTV.
No, they don't.
Unless you want me to give me my own show, then I would love to be on MTV.
You're like, yes, you can air my cat footfoot. However, I'm going to do a show for you guys. Okay, so what do you think about then, how long should you wait before following a date on social media? This says that most people, you should wait a few dates. Don't do it right away. Because if you become friends on Facebook, you have to unfriend them maybe. And maybe people will think that there's too much about them at first. What do you follow people right away? Because I feel that so for me, for Facebook, I've waited a few months. Like finally with my boyfriend, I was like, do you realize that we're not friends? And he's like, oh, like he's like, I don't use it that much. And then we did. So it wasn't a big thing, but I'm okay waiting for that. And then Instagram, I feel like I can see their stuff anyway. I'm not in a hurry to follow them right away.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Unless it's like a private account where you need to follow to see their pictures.
Then you got to do it.
Then you got to do it. But Facebook, you can wait. Like Facebook, I do think it's taking it to the next level.
It is. Facebook is next level. You're right. Facebook is the next level follow. And then
maybe it's because I'm friends with my mom. Like she's posting things on my wall. This is a personal space. Whereas Instagram, like if you have a public profile, anybody can follow you. So it doesn't really matter if you know somebody you're dating follows
that's
you.
That's true.
That's fine.
That's true. Okay.
I like when guys follow me on Twitter, though. I feel like they're Twitter. Oh, I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, because
like,
you're so smart. They want to read your words, not just look at your hot photos. Yeah, also, too. Okay, so the reminder is it says to wait, maybe just wait a few weeks until you get to know them before you, like, become friends with them on Facebook. And remember, what you see on social media is often just one side of who the person is, and usually it's their most showy side. So if you are doing a deep dive and getting sort of toxic into their past, it's like, instead of focusing on social media, focus on the connection that you have with them. That's where we get our real information. Oh,
that is so beautiful. But it also goes for everybody, even if you're not dating them.
Yes.
Like, remember with all the people that you're following that is not their real lives. Like they're just showing you, what is it? You're just seeing their highlight reel. You're not seeing behind
reel.
The scenes.
Yeah. Do you see this too? Social media, the whole social media thing with people that we are. I mean, there's so many studies in life. We just know it doesn't make you happier. I think to spend more time on and also comparing yourself,
I think is when it becomes really toxic, right? Because you're following these people who have used apps to, you know, tailor or I guess amend their images.
They should be put in jail. Just kidding. I've used Facetune. Right.
We've all used a filter, but I think when we're looking at it, our brain doesn't necessarily register that there's filter or Photoshop being used. And you're just like, oh, shit. And then I'm in the point of my life where everybody on my Facebook feed, it seems like, is getting married
or engaged
or having a baby.
Yep.
And I'm not seeing like the random girl I went to high school who hasn't posted in 3 years, but I'm seeing everybody else. I'm like, oh my God, everybody's doing this. I'm not doing this.
You should be posting about you being single and awesome and kicking ass and dating. Please, you should.
I'm single, getting in a relationship with myself.
And your dog.
Here's my gift registry.
Really, right? We should register just for being happy and single.
I like that. Maybe I'll do that.
Honey, you got a whole thing. You got so much going on. It's good. Okay, so Hannah Cranston, will you stay with me? We're going to answer some emails from the listeners. We want to get your advice. And we're going to give a big shout out. We are right now going to give a shout out to our sponsors because we love them. Hannah loves them. You have to leave with another tour today or another something. Thanks everyone for listening. We'll be right back. I love when I run into listeners of the podcast in the real world. You always ask such great sex questions, and you also ask me, is the womanizer really that good, or tell me more about the womanizer, which doesn't surprise me because it's still the top search term on sexwithemily.com. The good news is I could talk about the womanizer all day. I call it the clit whisper because it seems to know exactly what I want. I didn't think they could top the womanizer to go, the one that's shaped like a lipstick, but guess what? They did. The latest womanizer is called the Starlet. It's got all the power of the original, but it's super tiny. It literally fits in the palm of your hand. The womanizer uses patented pleasure air technology to indirectly stimulate your clitoris with gentle suction and air pressure. It's so effective, some women have an orgasm in 60 seconds. If you haven't tried a womanizer, now is the time. There are a bunch of different models, but trust me, all of them are the sure thing. To order your Womanizer Starlet, click on the Womanizer banner on my site or find it at goodvibes.com/Emily. Okay, Hannah Cranston. I just call you by your first and last name.
I like it.
You can't just be Hannah. You're like Hannah Cranston.
I like it. It's the opposite of being Cher. It's like
exactly. Right, exactly. But it's a strong name. Okay, I love answering your questions. And if you want a question answered on the show, text Ask Emily, all one word, to 797979. As always, include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. This is from Mitch, 23, in Ohio. Hi, Emily. I'm in the middle of one of your older shows with Anderson where you guys talk about retrograde jealousy, and it's something I think I struggle with. I've been with my girlfriend for about a year. I love her dearly. Everything about our relationship is so amazing, except our sex life. I'm a relatively inexperienced guy when it comes to sex and suffer from performance anxiety. My girlfriend is much more experienced and many more sexual partners, which adds to my desire to measure up. While we were in our casual dating phase, she would reminisce on her college experience and often describe herself as slutty and would mention having one-night stands and even a threesome. After we'd been together a while, I brought this subject back up because I think the world of her and hearing her describe herself in those ways just bothered me. She says she exaggerated at the time to seem edgy or independent. So she was like, yeah, I was doing all these cool things. But I can't seem to shake the feeling I have about what her true sexual history is like. I don't judge her, but I can't stop thinking about her past sexual partners and comparing myself to them, wondering what she might be hiding from me in that respect. I love your show. You've helped me in more ways than you can know, and I appreciate your help. Thanks. Okay, let's first talk about sharing your past sexual experiences with a new partner. I think the thing you should share is if you have an STD, like, or an STI, that should be where you start. But if you don't know your partner that well, and it's still kind of new to be like, oh, I had all this crazy, either way, someone's going to make up a story about you, or they're going to create, they're going to judge, or they're going to have an experience about your past. And unless you're someone who, you also don't know who you're with. Like, now I know enough that, like, my ex knows all that. He loves hearing my past sexual things because he gets off on him, thinks it's cool that I've done all these things, and he doesn't judge me, and it's fun. But case by case basis, because there are people who get jealous, they compare themselves. The guys could think like, I don't measure up. And so you gotta be careful about sharing it and just make sure you're with someone that can kind of handle the information. I don't know. And I've also think I've done things to brag, maybe. Not to brag, but just to seem like, not even with sex or like, I dated this guy who was this and that, just to kind of give my life more color. Here's the thing. They might not remember the details of your day or like where your parents were born, but whenever someone gives you any droplet of information about your ex, they remember. Yeah. They remember. So just, I think I'm just saying, be choosy about your words and about who you're talking to about it. What do you think?
I also think it's about intention, right? Like, what are you trying to achieve by sharing this information? If you're trying to sound cool or trying to brag or trying to appear edgy or whatever it may be, keep it to yourself, right? If it's like, oh, I've done this in the past and I really enjoy this and I want to bring this into our sex life because I think it can make it spicier, like then that is something that is important to share and I think is okay.
Right.
But if you're like, oh yeah, I've just had like a ton of sex with dudes with, you know, all these things that could make somebody feel insecure, I think I love that's it. Dangerous territory.
Think about your intention. I think you're totally right. I think that what we want to do is, and I always say, even when they're like, how many people have you been with? Like, hopefully people stop asking that question. I think it's mostly people in their 20s are like, what's your sex number? And I always say, when someone asks you anything, just like you said, go back to like, I don't really know about my past, but all I know is the sex we're having is amazing and I want to focus on that. So even if you do bring your past, I've had a threesome in the past and it's something I'd really like to try with you. That's about all. Bring it back to the current moment and the current partner.
Totally. But I do agree with you that if you have an STI or STD, you need to,
share that.
Be upfront about that.
So going back to Mitch, so that's one thing about sharing it all. And also, I'm just seeing here, there's no information that she's actually said their sex life isn't great. Like, he's creating a story because he says he has performance anxiety and that she's amazing sex in the past, that their sex life isn't great. But there's nothing in here with the girlfriend complaining, saying, yeah, babe, you better get it together. I can't stop thinking about my past exploits because you suck in bed. So I think he took information and he created some ammunition to beat himself up with. And I think we do that anyway sometimes. So
yeah, we all get in our heads during sex. And I think oftentimes that's put on women and we forget that men get in their heads
too.
And it's important to like put people at ease. And so maybe if he opens up about some of that anxiety with her, she can be like, no, like this is awesome, and reaffirm her enjoyment in it, which might be. So I would say for him to communicate with her how he's maybe feeling.
Exactly. Because he did bring it up once and she just said she exaggerated. So that's why I was like, oh, she exaggerated. And so she wanted to seem like she was more, you know, whatever, experienced. So I think now he should just be honest and say, I keep thinking about it and I want to make sure I'm like the most amazing lover that you've ever had. How can we create an amazing sex life together? Done.
It's a fun conversation to have.
It's so fun.
It's a fun conversation.
I'm telling you, once couples get over all this shame and fear on talking about sex and taboo, it's like it becomes like one of your new favorite things to talk about, because you're constantly like, when you're in it together, people might be listening going, there's no way it will ever be fun or easy. I promise you, when you get over these awkwardness, it becomes like, what can we try now? What can we do? Or how was last night? Like, let's talk about how to make it better, just like we do with work and exercise and diet and health and relationships, like sex relationship.
And let me see if you agree with this, because this is an opinion. Maybe it's a wrong one. I don't know. But I think talking about sex when you're not like post-coitus laying in bed naked, because you're already feeling vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
I think doing it when you're out of the space that you're having it might actually be better. Like, I've had this conversation. I had like the best conversation about our sex life with an ex-boyfriend where we were on a plane. So we were both perfect, facing forward and you like weren't totally looking at each other and nothing was going to happen. You didn't feel vulnerable, but you had this more open conversation because you weren't already feeling awkward or uncomfortable.
You're 100% right. That's exactly, I do not think these conversations should happen in the bedroom. I say that all the time because it's like, and that's a good one, the airplane. I always say do it when you're in the car so you're not looking at each other, because then you're like,
airplane is more bizarre.
No, but I love the airplane, and especially because I'm flying to Greece. I'm going to talk about it next week. I will be on the plane for 20 hours, but that's
all,
a
long
conversation. You're so rich. We probably will. We already talked about it. Maybe we should take a break from our sex conversation, actually. But that is a great point. When you do it in the bedroom, and I love that you knew this, like that you already felt this. It's weird because you are post-coitus and then you're going to link up negative or whatever. Very smart, Hannah. I love it. Okay, we got all of this stuff here. Mitch. Stop tripping on all of this until you talk to her. I think you got to just check your story, check the drama you're creating in her head. I don't think see that your sex life isn't pleasing her at all. So up the conversation. Okay, this is from Mark 48 Vancouver, and he's been going through a lot. I think we can help him here. Hey, Emily, I love the show. I'll try to be brief. 2 to 3 years ago at work, I was accused of sexual harassment by a woman that was being fired. Different department, being fired for performance reasons. It was a false accusation, and after a month-long investigation by HR, lawyers, and interviews with many staff members, management, and external people, I was fully exonerated. During the investigation, I felt my life would be destroyed by this. In addition, my long-term relationship came to an end. I've seen a number of counselors to try and get over the trauma. It's been helpful. However, prior to this, I had a healthy sex drive and engaged quite well with women. But now my sex drive is completely gone. I have no desire to socially or professionally engage with them. I've gone so far as to work for less money at a different, smaller company with no women employed. It's not that I can't engage with women. I can. But I find myself making note of everyone that's around, being very careful of everything I say, and I avoid making much eye contact. Logically, I know the odds of the same thing happening to me are extremely small, but emotionally, something now has changed. Any advice? Mark.
Oof.
Right? It's really heavy. And I feel like the fact that it's been 3 years, because at first I read this, I was like, oh yeah, just, you know, go. I understand, like, you didn't do anything wrong. You have to relearn again how to talk to women. And, you know, he could even be authentic and open with women that he's interested in, and be like, maybe not right away, but I've had a hard time with all this Me Too stuff. Maybe I'm more challenged to just be more open about his concerns. And maybe I was thinking about practicing talking to just anybody. Like, I think talking to women that you're not even attracted to, because there's a certain, like, way that he shut down. But the more I read this, 2 to 3 years, I feel like he needs, it's kind of gone into trauma level. Like, not like, I want to say trauma with a small T. I'm not meaning like you're having like severe trauma, but maybe. He said he saw a few counselors at therapy for something that's kind of like, that's major, to lose your job, take a smaller commission, move somewhere else, that he probably needs some kind of like EMDR therapy. Do you know about EMDR? It's like eye movement, desensitization, and reprocessing. And it's when you go to a therapist for a very specific instance and they do this kind of thing with your eyes, and they do like, it's a trauma therapy, and you can kind of move through stuff. So anyway, and this also brings up, I mean, what do you think first of all when you hear this?
So it does sound like he's experiencing major trauma with a capital T. Absolutely. He's, you know, having some post-traumatic stress disorders. It's what it sounds like. I'm not a doctor. I can't diagnose him, so I have no idea. It's difficult because when we're talking about reports of sexual harassment or sexual abuse, the amount of reports that are false are only within 2 to 10%. So it's a very small minority of these reports that are false. That said, the people who are falsely accused of this, I mean, that's horrendous. Right. To be accused of just doing the worst thing that you could do to a woman or to anybody, right? And if you didn't do it, that's awful. That is a huge trauma, and that is not only to your character, but also for your job, for, you know, your dating life. It sounds like it really affected his dating life. And so even though it's a small percentage, it's still something that's really impactful, and it's awful that he's going through this. But I agree with you. I think, I mean, I'm a huge proponent of therapy, and I like that he talks about therapy, because I don't think enough people talk about, you know, seeking mental health care. So I think that's probably, you know, really double down on therapy. I mean, I've been periods of my life where I was in therapy twice a week.
Yeah,
you know,
sometimes it's a little bit. I love that you say that, because let's talk about that, because I want to talk about therapy in a second, because I think you're right. People who say, I saw a couple counselors, you don't go to therapy 3 times. It's not like if you couldn't tell me, if I was like, oh, do you exercise? And you're like, yeah, I've gone 3 times. Like, you're not in shape.
It's
like
a great analogy.
So I feel like therapy is the kind of thing where you literally, you double down. If you can't, I used to go twice a week. Or you commit once a week, and it's for like a year, people. And I know you're thinking, oh my God, no, the price, the cost. It is the best money you'll ever spend. You got to find someone you like. But to really have any progress, I truly believe everybody needs it. Even if it's sort out the stuff from childhood.
Totally.
It's all childhood stuff.
Yeah, you may not think that you have a problem or whatever it may be, and not a trauma like this, but therapy is good for everybody, and for people who are younger or people who can't afford therapy. There's some great options now online. I'm not a sponsor for them, but I like should be.
Should be.
They have where you can text a therapist, and it's cheap. I think it's like $10 a month, something crazy cheap, where you can text them or do Skype sessions with them. So if you don't have the time, or you can't afford to go into a full session, you know, with a therapist and do the whole shebang, there are other options that can help you. But we really need to destigmatize therapy.
I think you're right. I think it has to be like, I went to the dentist, I went to my therapist.
Totally.
Got my haircut.
You wouldn't like, be like, I love the analogy. I know I'm going off on a tangent, not go to, you know, be embarrassed if you're like, oh yeah, I went to the doctor because I broke my foot.
No.
Okay, no. You went to the doctor because your mind needs help too.
Right.
Your mind needs mending. We all need it.
We all need it. Otherwise, we get off in these, you know, these places where we are having a really hard time functioning. Yeah. So you have someone who's, you know, independent parties, not your family, not your sister, not your friend. So
he's trained to do this.
That's their job, is literally to help you. And I love those alternative solutions. And a lot of you guys, a lot of insurance, even if you're like, oh, my insurance sucks, many companies will give you like 20 sessions free, or 20 sessions not free, but like half cost, or they cover 20 sessions, or they cover half the cost. So I think it's a great place to start. So Mark, and me too. I mean, I get it. You're right. 2 to 12% of the cases are actually, there are truth in them. So I could see that being tricky with the environment. But I think just be honest, keep working on yourself. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Mark. This is from Stephanie, 26, New Jersey. My boyfriend and I have been together for 7 years. We both still live at home with our parents and don't see each other as often as we would like. Throughout our relationship, sex seems to always be a topic that causes an issue. My boyfriend thinks I don't enjoy sex and that I don't want him. He thinks sex is a chore for me and I only have sex to please him. None of that is true, but I can't figure out how to make him believe me. I've never been vocal about sex. I don't talk dirty because I feel awkward doing it and I feel uncomfortable trying to be sexy. I want to know what I can do to feel comfortable and get him to believe me. What are some things I can try to do for my boyfriend? Ooh. Yeah. So Stephanie, 26 years old, there's a lot of thoughts here. First of all of this, I just want to reframe this for you, Stephanie. I love that you want to feel sexy and feel in your body and all that. And I don't think this is ever for somebody else. Your orgasms aren't for somebody else. Dressing sexy isn't for someone. It's not for your boyfriend. It's not to make him happy. It's not even to make him believe you. What the advice I'm going to give you is for you to believe you and for you to, you know, get into your body and then like get into your own sexy and figure out what that means. She's been with him since she was 19.
Oh, that's
so I'm going to assume like that you're just thinking, and I think we don't know this about sex, that we should just automatically be great at it. We should feel amazing about sex. We should give blowjobs like we came out of the womb giving blowjobs. That sounds like I could go to jail for that. But you know what I mean? Like, you're not going to magically be like, I know sex. So go easy on yourself. And I think he probably is in the same boat you are, in the sense of maybe in porn he's seen couples having sex a certain way and women acting sexy. I don't think that you know you're sexy yet, Steph and Stephanie, and that's okay. And for me, this would come from you guys either together figuring out what is sexy to both of you by like listening to the show, you know, reading books together, just starting to talk about it. But thinking on your own, you got to scurry off and figure out how to feel confident and sexy. You know, that's not going to happen that way.
And also, it's not your fault that he doesn't think that you enjoy sex, or he thinks that you, you know, aren't as into it as him. Spoiler alert, that's society's fault,
right?
For, you know, telling women and men that they should view sex differently and that men are cool but girls are slutty and that girls aren't supposed to enjoy sex until after marriage or whatever bullshit that we are fed. So that's society's fault that he thinks that way, because he's just getting those messages and applying it to his real life.
Right.
And so I do agree with you completely that Stephanie, like, for you, I think it's really important that you figure out what's comfortable for you. And maybe that's whether that's having some time with yourself, and figuring out what's comfortable for you and how you can bring that in so that you are more comfortable and in your element with him. Or again, having those sorts of conversations outside of the bedroom where you are, you know, affirming your connection with your boyfriend.
And the fact that he's saying he doesn't believe her, maybe ask him when this conversation, what would that look like to him if you were really into it, or you were whatever he says she's not. Whatever he says you're not, ask him that you don't enjoy sex and I don't want him.
But you're so right. Like, I think a lot of people watch porn and then they expect to be like screaming. We have neighbors.
Exactly.
But that is not like,
noise pollution laws.
Yeah.
And like, they've got their parents.
Right. Oh, yeah.
She hasn't even, you're in the home, honey. You got a lot of things here that are challenging, Stephanie. So it's okay that you don't feel like this fully evolved sexual being, but I don't want him to label you in any way at all. And you're right. We're basing it on such stuff that's not real.
Hollywood,
porn. I just want people to realize that it's a work in progress. Life always is. Thank you, Hannah.
Thank you.
You're so good and insightful and so smart.
This was so fun. You're so pretty.
Thank you. See, that feels really good to me. You guys have to follow Hannah Cranston because she's doing amazing things with some more incredible announcements to come. And it's at Hannah Cranston, right?
At Hannah Cranston.
H-A-N-N-A-H Cranston with a C.
Yeah.
And Sam, so is your website. And I love your energy.
I love your energy.
I love your
being here. This is so much fun.
Been a great time. Thank you. And thank you to everybody for listening. Thanks to my amazing team, Ken, volunteer Sarah, producer Jamie, Michael. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com. I'm fascinated with sex tech and innovation. And from the second I heard about UV, I didn't hesitate to jump on board and be part of their Kickstarter campaign, which was a huge success thanks to you. Now it's been over a year, and Yuvi is the hottest thing to hit the sex toy market in years. Why? Well, for one, it's the only product on the market that can sanitize sex toys while charging and discreetly storing them. Yuvi is designed for the intricate contours of luxury sex toys, but can handle anything from hairbrushes to jewelry to remote controls. And not only does it clean and charge my phone every night, the onboard USB ports keeps my toys ready to go. Yuvi makes cleaning toys so easy, and it's available in two sizes, the Go Play and the larger home version. I've already furnished my home with a dozen of these. I mean, hey, you know how many sex toys I have. Yuvi is an elegant box with a locking function. I just open the lid, place in my items to be cleaned, and close the box. Depending on which Yuvi you have, cleaning takes between 5 and 10 minutes. The ultraviolet cleaning system has been proven to eliminate 99.9% of harmful bacteria found on sex toys and other items. If you're a lover of sex toys, you can order one for yourself. To learn more, just click on the Yuvi banner on my website or visit uveclean.com/Emily. That's UVEECLEAN.com/Emily today.